You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Today, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? On Words of Encouragement.
This morning, who is Jesus to you? I'll never forget one of the first times that I failed in the pulpit, when I thought it would be a good idea, since I had heard Adrian Rogers preach a sermon about who is Jesus. Now, this is not the same sermon. This is not even close to what he was preaching, not even the same passage. But what he did, I thought, was wonderful. Because what he did, he had asked beforehand certain people in the congregation to be ready. And so when Adrian Rogers stood up there and he was saying, he preached a short little sermon, who is Jesus? And then he said, he called on, you know, Crystal Smith. Crystal, who is Jesus to you? And Crystal came up and she shared who Jesus was to her. And I thought, man, this is fascinating. Now, remember, this is the first church I ever pastored, small little church in the woods of Wallace. And I thought, man, this is going to be fantastic, you know, because everything always goes the same way that you see it when you take it and do it yourself. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah, yeah. So I was excited, and I had certain people told that, said, look, this is what I'm going to call on you next Sunday morning, and you're going to, oh, yeah, 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 we're good. Okay, yeah, 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 all right. So I had several, and I called on, you know, Miss, oh, goodness. Anyway, can't remember names, but that's okay. I called on her. She came up. She shared with the congregation who Jesus was. And I called on another, and they came up and shared who Jesus was. I called on one, and she stared at me, and she just froze. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what happened? And I got in trouble after that. And she did not understand. She had not totally comprehended what I had asked her to do. And I thought I had prepared her. I thought I had done well, but evidently I had not. And so I had embarrassed her. So I will not be calling on any of you this morning and asking you that question. But I am going to ask it from up here. Who is Jesus to you? Where does he rank in your life? What has he done to affect this world? Is he still affecting this world even though he's in heaven? These are just some of the questions that the letter to the Colossian Christians answers for us. If you are willing and able to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning, who is Jesus to you? Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. The Bible tells us he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. May God bless the reading of his word. I invite you to be seated. So Jesus is the image of God. I think this is one of the most beautifully written passages of Scripture. Now, I say that, and it sounds good to me because it's in the English. I'm sure it sounds just as good in the Greek. But I tell you, the words that are used, the way this was translated for us, it just is beautiful to me. Verse 15 there, saying he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. To say that Christ is the image of God is to say that in him the nature and being of God have been perf- perfectly revealed that in him the invisible has become visible. In that day in which Jesus was on the earth, in that day there were people who beheld God. They saw him. He's Jesus. All that is in God is in Christ. That which had not been seen before was made visible in the form and physical body of Jesus. Christ is the perfect visible representation and manifestation of God. If you want to see God, you look to Jesus. The word image here is defined as a visual representation of an object or scene or person or abstraction produced on a surface. In other words, all the stuff that makes God, God, is in Jesus. All that which makes God, God, is in Christ. Boy, that you wish you could explain it better. You wish there was a better way to say that. But Paul writes that Jesus, he goes on to write that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Well, now what in the world? What does that mean? Does that mean he was created first? No. He is the one who created all things. The word translated firstborn, which is used here, means he preceded the whole creation and he is sovereign over all creation. Paul is not speaking of birth order here or creation order. He is speaking of rank. Rank. Where does Jesus rank in the universe? When it comes to all things, Jesus ranks first. He is first. This begs a question that needs to be asked of us all. Is Jesus first in your life? Oh, he's first. Yes, he's first, but is he first in your life? Is he first in your world, or is he second? Perhaps third in your world? He's the firstborn of all creation, and he should be the firstborn in our lives as well. Jesus first. Jesus first. Jesus first. In front of everything. Before everything. Higher than all. There were some in that day who reduced Jesus from foremost to almost. There were some that put Jesus on the same level as other gods, false gods of that day. They just put him on the same level. Have you seen the bumper sticker, coexist? Oh, it looks so nice and peaceful. And it has all the little different symbols of all the different religions. And there's the cross right in there. No, Jesus is above all. Jesus is above all. He is foremost. He is firstborn of all creation. So he's held at a higher level. But there were people in Paul's day that were trying to just bring him down a little bit and put Jesus kind of on the same level as other gods. And Paul said, no, we're not doing that. Paul is responding to this with this letter to the Colossian Christians. Jesus should be first over all and above all. Period. Is Jesus seen as first in your life? That's the first question I have for you. Is Jesus seen as first in your life? That's something you and I have to talk about with God. We have to discover on our own. I would advise you, you might not want to ask someone else. Just saying. You may not want to ask someone else, hey, do you think that Jesus is foremost in my life? I mean, if you're ready to hear the answer, they may be nice. They may say, hey, yes, I can see it. They may be truthful and say, hey, yes, I can see it. They may be truthful and say, hey, no, I don't know about that. I don't know that I see Jesus as being first in your life. So you may not want to ask someone else. But who you need to ask is yourself. Is Jesus first in my life? Is he? Second, we see Jesus is creator. He is creator. Look at verse 16. For by him all things were created. Wow. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. This Jesus fella seems pretty important, doesn't he? This Jesus seems like he's somebody that we need to look to. This Jesus seems like he might be more important than anybody else in the entire universe. Maybe we ought to give some attention to this Jesus. How many of you knew that Jesus was there at the beginning of time? Normally, we look at that and we say, well, now God created the heavens and the earth. That's what the Bible says. I mean, you know, there you go. I mean, that's what he did that. He did that. Well, yes, he did. And we don't think of Jesus being there at the time of creation. But if you will read the Bible, you will read it, and if you will read it not like you're reading the cereal box. Oh, okay, yeah, I don't know what that word is. Okay, yeah, what is that? Okay, what else is in this stuff? Okay. If we will read the Bible slowly and carefully under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, who has promised to lead us into all truth, if we will do that, we will see that it wasn't just God. Well, and boy, you get into semantics, you get into it gets into those that English again. It wasn't just God who was there, but it was. Listen to this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Well, who is the us? Who is the us and the our? And who are these people? This is, I see the Trinity right here. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what we see here. I believe that's what that is saying. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we find these words. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Wow. God used Jesus to make everything that is. The Bible teaches us this. And yet, when we were growing up, many of us, we had the great little books. Oh, I love children's books that teach us about God. They've simplified it. They've made it easy to understand. Easy for me. And I like that. I like to look at that and say, well, there they go. God created the heavens and the earth. God made the world, the children's book would say. God made the world. And he did. But he used Jesus as the agent of creation. So through Jesus, it says it right there, through whom also he made the world. So through Jesus, each individual thing was created. I had an English teacher once told me, said, there's no such thing as a thing. I said, what do you mean? There's a lot of things. Oh, no, you got to name the thing. I said, oh, okay. So I try to name the thing, but items, there are so much that through Jesus was made and created. In him, all things were brought into existence. The Greek word here is better translated as in rather than by, and it is obvious that God created when you look at Genesis. Jesus was the agent God used to create all that can see and all that we can see and cannot see. Every cell, every microorganism, every bird, every cow, every dog, every person, and even every cat, Jesus made. According to the Word of God, all things have been created through him and for him. Wow. Since Jesus created all things, he himself is uncreated. The word "for" that introduces this verse could be translated "because." Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all because He created all things. Well, He also says all things were created for Him. The wind, He is master of it. The waves, He can calm them. All things are under His command because He made them. Isn't that just comforting? It brings me great comfort to know that there's somebody out there who's in charge of things. Somebody is out there and knows what's going to happen to me this evening, tomorrow, next week. Somebody out there is in charge. I have to have that. I have to have that, or I have great anxiety. I can't make it day to day. If I felt that, or if I just believed that there were nobody in charge out there, man, I'd find me a little bubble somewhere and I'd live in that bubble. Some people say, well, we live in a bubble here in Winsboro. Well, so be it. I mean, this world, the things of this world haven't really at large come into our little town. Praise the Lord for that. But my goodness, if I believed there were no one in charge, I would just hide somewhere. But I believe we have a Heavenly Father who is in charge. I believe we have Him, and He loves us, and He is caring for us. All things were created in Him, through Him, and for Him. Boy, God created all that is, and He's still in charge of all that is. His thinking, His purposes are beyond our comprehension most of the time. Oh, yes. Don't understand why He allows certain things to happen. Don't understand that. But He's in charge, and He knows what He's doing. There are things He allows to happen, and we cannot understand why. There are people who get hurt, who even die, and there seems to be no obvious reasons as to why. Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, monsoons, and tsunamis occur. And we ask, why, God, why? Why do those people have to die? Why did that happen? God's ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. We must allow God to be God. We've just got to allow Him to be who He is. We don't always understand it, but we have to allow Him to be who He is. We can't put Him in a box. We can't restrict Him. We can't put boundaries on God and say, well, God, you can't do this. You shouldn't do this. Oh, you don't. Why'd you let this happen? Why'd you let this happen? God, what's going on? We can't put boundaries on Him. We're not going to be able to understand His every move or the why of His moves. Guess what? That's okay. That's okay, because we can lean on Him. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. He does love us. We've got to remember that. In the hard times, in the tough times, in the times we can't explain, in the times that we don't understand why something is happening to us, in the times where we feel persecuted or rebuked, or the times that we get annoyed, we must remember that God loves us. He loves us. It's not God against you. It's God for you. It's God in you. It's God wanting to use you in this world, wanting to make you like His Son Jesus. And sometimes becoming like Jesus is going just to be uncomfortable. Because God has to take away those things that are not like Jesus. And when He's doing, in that process of doing that, which we're in that process every day. When He's in that process of making us more like Jesus, there are going to be some things we're going to have to give up. And, oh boy, wait a minute. I don't want to give that up. Now, wait a minute. Oh, no, I like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. You know, sometimes I wonder if each of us deep down is a hoarder. How many of you have seen that show, Hoarders, on TV? You heard about the show. I mean, I can't get rid of anything. And that's sometimes how we are with our lives and our habits And we think, well, I've got, oh, and I've done this all my life. It's okay. No, God, I really don't want you to take that away. That would be uncomfortable. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want God to make you like Jesus? That's a good question to ask. Because if you do, there will be moments that it's uncomfortable. Is Jesus ruler and creator in your life? Is he ruler and creator in your life? That's the second question I have for you. The third thing we see here is Jesus holds all things together. Oh, I like this. Look at verse 17. He is before, or he has existed prior to all things, and in him all things hold together, all things endure, all things continue to be stuck together, glued together, if you will, with the supernatural glue of God. I mean, things hold together. Again, we see here the word firstborn. He is before all things. He is before all things. We see a shade of that. The word before here means above or before anything else. So we see again a reference here to the rank of Jesus. He is to be above all in our lives. He is to be before all things. He is to be revered higher than anything or anyone. There should be a respect, an awesome respect for God. And no, I will not tell you who said this, but there's a lady in our congregation, a lady in our church family who told me once, I don't use the word awesome unless I speak of God. I thought, boy, that's good. Because I throw that word around a lot. Boy, this is awesome ice cream. Man, this pizza is awesome. Mo, this is, you know, I throw that word around. But she said, I don't use that word except in reference to God. I like that. I'll never forget she told me that either. Never forget that. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Revering God, revering Christ above all. Notice the next part of that verse. In him all things hold together. The King James uses the word consist. In him all things consist. The very world, all that is in it, the very universe and all that is in it is held together by Christ. Wow. Really? Yes, really. Isn't that interesting? Yes, very, Brother Craig. That's interesting. Wonder what the scientists say. I wonder how they view this world and everything holding together. Now, that I'm sure there's a big old long word for the study of how all things hold together. And I'm sure that there's a lot of study that's been given to how all things hold together. But do you know that when I look at the Bible, I see who holds all things together, and I'm just fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the fact, to me, a fact, because it comes from the Word of God, that in him all things hold together. I'm good. All things consist. All things are together because Jesus holds it together. I'm good with that. I like that. Theologian N.T. Wright says, through him the world is sustained, prevented from falling into chaos. No creature is autonomous. All are God's servants and dependents. That's pretty good. We are all subject to him. We are all his subjects, whether we rightfully acknowledge him as Lord or not. We are going to bow. That was one of the things I remember I don't remember now. I don't remember. Boy, I'm not remembering more than I remember. That's not good. When I was in college, our seminary, one of them, we used to, and this is, I'm letting you in on a secret joke, a secret joke that happens among those theologian students or whatever, theology students. Any one of us would mess up or do something wrong, sin. We would jokingly say, you're going to bow. You're going to bow one day. You're going to bow for that. You're going to bow for that. You're going to bow in front of Jesus, the great throne one day. You're going to bow. And we used to joke about that. And that's not really a joking matter, is it? Because there are people who have not accepted Christ as their Savior. And when they bow, it's going to be a bad day for them. Because they haven't been walking with Christ. They've not asked him to come and to forgive them of their sins, to come into their heart, to be in charge of their lives. They've not done that. And when they bow, it's not going to be good for them. But we're all going to bow. Believers and unbelievers may choose to stray, but he is the one to whom we all must and will bow. Too many times we want to be the one who holds things together. Have you ever realized that in your life? Have you ever discovered that in your life, that too many times you want to be? Now, you wouldn't say that. Preacher, I just want to be the one that holds everything together. No, you wouldn't say that, because that's not nice. That's not right. You know it's not right. And yet our actions sometimes show that we think we are the ones who hold everything together. If it weren't for me, this family would go down the tubes. If it weren't for me, this town would fall apart. If it weren't for me, this church would fall apart. If it weren't for me, America would go down the drain. Well, that way maybe we wouldn't go that far. But it's funny how sometimes our actions show what our words do not say. And we feel like we're the one who holds things together. We think, well, if a certain candidate does not win, the world will end. We get these ideas that if we don't vote a certain way, all that we have will be lost. Listen, you and I will lose all that we have when we die. All the stuff we have, we're going to lose it. When we leave this earth, we're not going to have it. We're not going to need it, but we're not going to have it. And we get so attached to this temporal world, such a degree that we're just holding on with both hands and our knuckles are white because we don't want to let go. But where is Jesus in all of this? Where is he? Is he being worshipped? Is he being held higher than the stuff we're hanging on to? Is he Lord? Is he in charge of our lives? Is he really, really? Or do we just say that? Oh, Jesus is Lord. Do we just say that, or is he really Lord? This losing all that we have is only a matter of time for us. What we need to focus on is Christ and the fact that he's holding all things together. He is the one we need to be voting for, walking with, living with. He's the one we need to know better than anybody else. Jesus. Where is he in your life? Is he seen as first in your life? Is he ruler and creator of your life? Listen, how much time do I have? I could move along into that creator part. What's he doing? What's he doing in your life? What is he? He's making, God wants to make you like Christ. You're a new creature, a new creation, the Bible tells us. So what is he doing with you? What's he doing with you? You have a purpose. Are you allowing Jesus to hold everything together? Are you letting him be in charge of everything? Or are you just taking your time worrying about everything and just having a big pity party because everything, it's not going my way. My life's not going my way. And all these people aren't doing the right thing. And why are they doing this? Why are these people over here so mad? Why are these people upset over here? Why can't everybody just be happy? You can sit and worry about all that. Or guess what? You can look to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your help. Will you help me? I need your help. I need to lift you up higher than all of this garbage and mess in the world, and I need to see you, and I need to hold on to you, because you are where it's at. You are King of Kings, and you are Lord of Lords. What are we going to do? What do we do? I know what we do. I know what we do, but what are we going to do? I know what we do. We whine and complain and try to figure out how we can fix everything. I know what we do, but what are we going to do? Are we going to look to Christ? Are we going to hold him higher than all the stuff? What are we going to do? We get bogged down, and it's so easy to get bogged down in the junk of this world. It is so easy. Why is it easy, preacher? It's easy because people appeal to our emotions. They appeal to how to us and appeal to our emotions. And when they do, they get to us and they get under our skin and we get upset and we get angry. And where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Is he still up here? Is he still the one we're looking to? Or have we just descended into such junk that we just can't see him anymore? Where is Jesus? Where is he? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, Father, if we have in any way brought you down a few notches, one notch, even one notch, even a half a notch in our lives, Father, if we have taken you and pulled you down and have taken something else and put it above you, Father, forgive us. Oh, God, forgive us. Lord, help us to see the truth of your word. It's just so plain. It's so straightforward. You are above all. That's where you are. But God, we determine that in our lives by the way we live. We determine whether or not you are really there in our lives. Because you're there. You are. You are above all things, no matter what, period. But sometimes we don't treat you as such. Oh, God, help us. Help us to allow you to be Lord of our lives. Help us, Father. Maybe there's someone here this morning that is saying, look, what is this all about? Jesus being Lord, being above and in front of everything. What is this about? It's about having him in your life. It's about making him your Lord and Savior. You and I, all of us are sinners. We've sinned against God, and the Bible tells us sin is wrong and sin is not acceptable in the eyes of God, and God will not allow us into his heaven unless we do something about it. So we can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about it except to die. That's what we deserve, just to die for our sins. But God, you sent your son Jesus to die in our place, to take the punishment that we deserve for our sins. You did that for us. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid that ultimate price, and he made it possible through his burial and resurrection for us to have eternal life. If we will trust in you, if we will call upon your name, maybe today you need to call on the name of Jesus and say, look, I need Jesus in my heart. I need him in my heart. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I'm sorry for the way I've been living. I want Jesus in charge. Maybe today you need to make that decision to follow Jesus. Make him Lord. Make him Lord. Father, we thank you. Continue to work, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement today. We're glad that you have joined us for this podcast, and we do hope that if you have any questions, you will feel free to go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. And you can find out more about our church, and if you're ever in the area, you're passing through Louisiana, maybe you're on the way, maybe you're on your way to an LSU baseball or football game. I mean, look, if you're on your way and you're coming from the right direction, you're going to probably pass through Winnsboro, Louisiana, especially if you're coming from Arkansas or further north. We would love for you just to slip by. You're probably going to be on Highway 15, and you can turn right there at the Winnsboro State Bank. That's Highland Street, and you can just come and visit with us. We'd love to have you, even if it's just a weekday. Come by and just visit with us. We'd love to get to know you. I do want you to know that we have some online storybooks Books written, actually not written, but read. Books read by some of our members. Family safe books for your children. And I just really want to encourage you to get in on those. You can get to them from our website. Big button that says It's Story Time. And you can click on that and then your children can listen and watch these books being read. Safe books for your children. A safe place for your children. But we wanted to provide that for your children and for you as a way of just having something good to be able to watch. Something good for your children to be able to look at on a screen. So many of us just so involved in looking at screens all the time, we figured it would be good to have something good for the children to be able to watch. So that's It's Story Time. And you'll get to it right there from our website, fbcwinsboro.com. Until next time, this has been Words of Encouragement.